In us, and this is why he works with us every second and moment of the day, in order for us to maintain and walk in the Spirit. Now I want us to turn to Galatians chapter 5 verse 16, because again we get some more understanding about this walking not in the flesh but in the Spirit. And as you know, we teach the deeper life in the Spirit, which means that you can go as deep and as far as you want in walking in the Spirit. That is what this is all about. And in Galatians 5 verse 16, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And he goes on to say then that the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Now, God knows there's a fight that goes on. And that fight is with our will. That's really what it's saying here. And so, when you find that you're in that fight, that warfare, in other words, I know I should be doing this, I know I should be seeking God, but I just don't want to today, I want to do my own thing, or whatever it is, we find ourselves in that turmoil. Now every one of us in this room knows exactly what I'm talking about, because I can't be the only one. Well, I know God's requiring, or God wants me to do something, and yet I want to do the opposite. There's that turmoil. And these are the very things that they're speaking about. Now, when you find yourself in a turmoil like that, however you feel, I just say, Lord, I don't like this. I'm battling this. It's not what I wanted. It's not what I planned for. It's not what I hoped for. But you're God, and I know you're going to have the final say. And I trust you on this. And you're going to work this in me. You see, brothers and sisters, we need to talk to God. We need to open our hearts. We all stand naked before him. We need to tell him all the details. We need to bring out all the dirty linen, because you can't hide it. And I'll tell you something, he's not actually going to be shocked either. God wants us to be totally frank and open before him, because by doing this, this enables and helps one to start to begin to walk in the Spirit and not the flesh. You see, when we've sinned, or fallen short of the glory of God, the first thing we do is we run. Now, you may not literally run, but what we do is we sort of have ways of hiding. And we all do it in different ways. We may find, well, I don't want to talk to God about that. Or I'll put it off, I'll talk to him later on. Or God knows, he understands, you know, and so on. But you know, what the Lord is actually saying, let's come and talk about this. This was Israel's problem. You read Isaiah 2, where he says to Israel, come now, let us agree, let us talk. Relationships are about agreeing. Marriages are about agreeing. At your job, with your boss, or whatever it is, it's about agreeing. A covenant, which we make with God through Jesus Christ, that's what it means to be a Christian, it's a covenant relationship, it's about agreeing. And God is always there, he's always made that first step, in order for you to make that step, to come and talk and agree. Now, if we can't agree with God, i.e. that's his word, then God has made a mistake. Then nobody can be saved. And there's not much point in even having the revelation of God's word. We might as well just go out in the world and enjoy it for a season and so on. But if God is saying, come, let's agree, let's talk this out, let's bring it all out together, that surely must give us hope that God can work this so that I can conform to his will. Because in the flesh, we don't like the will of God, if we're open and honest. And this was why Jesus had a problem with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. Because they were hypocrites. They were not honest with God. They would put the pressure on the people to walk godly lives, but they couldn't themselves. And that's why Jesus prophesied the woes over them. And sadly, we have so many around today who had that same spirit and even are in our churches. But the humble, the meek, the lowly, the destitute, the poor in spirit, they will have a way of opening up to God, because they're the ones that God listens to. They're the ones who are battling, are finding the Christian walk hard, or they're confused, or they have been abused by Christians. Sadly, there are a lot of Christians who profess Christ, but they abuse their brothers, their sisters. They don't really love them. You are the ones that God is going to pick up. You are the ones that God is going to reveal himself. You are the ones that God is going to show it's not impossible. And I'm going to show you how it's done. I'm going to show you how you can walk with me. We make it so difficult, brothers and sisters. Do you know, actually walking with God is not rocket science. We make it hard. But he is right there to meet with us. And this is what God was doing with the children of Israel. He was ever trying to call Israel, come, let's talk it out. Okay, you've done this, you don't understand, you have problems, but come, let's talk this out. Wish to God more parents would do this with their children. many children go off the rails because there's not that communication. There's not that respect. There's not that feeling of when one shares and talks that we will work this through together. Parents have to work with children, and children have to work with parents, and you work it out together. And if the child is suffering, you are suffering. If the father is suffering, the child is suffering. Do we ever consider that God has feelings? Do we ever consider that God wants to tell you how he feels? Or how he feels about you? Or what you are going through? Do you ever give God time to speak to your heart and spirit? That is what relationship is about. That is what love, respect, trust is about. God says, I want you to trust me, and I want you to know that you can trust me, and I want you to know that I can trust you. Would you like God to know that he can trust you? Well, I'm sure you would. How wonderful to know that God can trust each one of us. But it's always the other way round. You see, this walking in the Spirit is not legalism, is not bondage that we so often hear and that's taught to us. This walking and maintaining this walk in the Spirit is liberty, is freedom. If the Son shall set you free, you are free indeed. The good news of the gospel is that he has come to set us free. Free from what? People will say, oh, well, the devil. No, free from yourself. We are our own worst enemy. But he's also come to set us free, to make us a new creation. That is why Christ dealt with sin at the cross. It had to be dealt with. The cross, the crucifixion, is not a pretty sight. The cross, crucifixion, tells us what God thinks and has thought about sin, what has separated us from the love of God. So every time we look to the cross, and we should look to the cross, as we also take up our cross and follow him, that tells us, that tells me, what sin has done. But what sin has done, and the cross tells me that the cross has dealt with that, and I'm now a new creation. And therefore my sin is cast away as far as the east is to the west. We can draw this life from the cross. That is why we look to the cross. We look to what Christ has done at the cross. We do not take our eyes off the cross. The cross is central to the gospel faith. And yet so often we find that in ministries and teachers at times, they're subtly taking your eyes away from the cross, away from Jesus, so that you're looking to the man, or you're looking to the ministry or the minister. And hence you land up in idolatry. That's so prevalent. And of course God was ever working with Israel to bring her eyes off idols, idolatry, to keep her eyes looking upon the Lord himself. And it's no different with us. We're still distracted. We still at times take our eyes away. We're influenced by other things, but the mercy and grace of God ever brings us back, doesn't he? And so to those of us who find ourselves in Christ, your life is hidden in him. The old Adamic nature is dead. You're now in the second Adam. You are now that new creation in Christ Jesus. You now have a new nature. That old nature is dead, is done away with. But you say to me, oh yes, but you don't know what's going on in my life. Well, go right back to what I just said at the beginning. Decide what you're going to believe, what you're going to choose to believe. Yes, but you don't know what's going on. You don't know what's going on in my marriage. You don't know what's going on with my rebellious son or at work or with the boss or whatever it is. Yes, they are things. They are trials. But you have to settle it with God. And if you haven't settled it with God, then ask him to place it in your heart to settle it. And what he probably may do is, he may do just like he did with Jesus. He may spiritually allow you to go to the Garden of Gethsemane and settle it. And it may be some tears. It may be some sorrow. It may be. But the point is, spiritually, when you have come away from that Garden of Gethsemane, you know it is settled in your heart. You know your hands are placed to the plow and you are going forward. You know you are a disciple of Christ. That is important for us to know. And God will let you know that. God will confirm that. That is the anchoring. That is the new life. So that whatever we go through in our trials, something deep, deep down within us knows God will bring me through. And that's why you can draw from the promises of God. Because it is a source of comfort. You know, there are a lot of professing Christians who call themselves Christians, but get very little comfort from scriptures. And that's sad. Because the word of God is to be a comfort to us. It's simply confirming to us what we are, who we are, and where we're going. That's why we had the revelation of God's word given to us. And so, when it's interesting, when we are first saved, we often take it for granted that we walk in the Spirit, don't we? Until those trials come and test us. And it's the trials that test us. It's the trials that actually help us to believe that we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And that has to be tested. How else are you going to know? How are you really going to know that you walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh unless you go through trials? And your trials, when you come out the other end, you say to yourself, that had to be God. That had to be the Lord that brought me through that trial, because I know in myself what I would have done, or I would have run away, or whatever. So we all of us have testimonies and will have testimonies of God's faithfulness in bringing us through, which is an indication and a sign to you, you are walking in the Spirit. Even though you have just gone through this trial, which might even look contrary. Now the question always is, do you want this walk in the Spirit? That's the question. That's the question God's raising this morning to each one of you. Put aside how you feel, what you're going through, what your week has been like. The question is today, brothers and sisters, do you want to walk and to continue and maintain this walk in the Spirit or not? That is the question. If you do, well, I can tell you you're in the right place. You're listening to the right message. Because your desire, your want, your belief, your faith in this means you will continue that walk in the Spirit. And I can tell you, if that is what you want and you've settled it, your Heavenly Father will move heaven and earth for that to be maintained in your life and your walk. How do I know that? Because God loves you. That's why. And he's going to reveal that to you. And every trial that you come through is a revelation of God's love over your life that could not work in the natural otherwise. We know, sadly, some start in the Spirit, and some depart from the Spirit. Some depart through deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons. They put their ears to other things. But as I said at the beginning of this teaching, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." And God's people who are led by the Spirit will find themselves led by the Spirit of God so that they can draw life from God's Word. This is why I said at the beginning, none of us are in this room by a mistake. It is a divine appointment in which God wants to speak to us and meet with us. Because, brothers and sisters, nothing is achieved for the glory of God unless it is produced and it comes by the Spirit. That is why we say, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. We can only please God in the Spirit. We can only worship God in the Spirit. We can only pray according to the will of God in the Spirit. We can only understand and read the revelation of God's Word by the Spirit. Everything comes by the Spirit of God, not by the flesh. And it is a lifetime's walk with God to be taught this and to become sensitive to this and to expect this. You will come to a place where you will not want to hear anything if it is not by the Spirit of God. That is what he's working with us. That is how sensitive he's making each one of us. And this is vital for us to maintain and stand. You can only by the Spirit of God keep with the Word of God, because the Spirit of God keeps the Word of God pure and holy and undefiled. So everything is achieved by the Spirit. Ministry for the last day for the church has to be by the Spirit of God. Ministers that are called to preach, teach the Word of God, has to be by the Spirit of God. Our witness has to be by the Spirit of God. Nothing can be done by the flesh, because it will not glorify God. Now, brothers and sisters, that tells me that only God can do that. And no man can or will ever boast in that. This is why, sadly, most of us have experienced a lot of things that are in the flesh. A lot of things that have been said in the flesh. A lot of teaching that is in the flesh. A lot of works in the flesh. And they call it Christian. This is why, you see, God brings us to a place where we know nothing unless it's revealed to us by the Spirit. You cannot learn about God. You cannot receive from God if you try to do it in the intellect, in the carnal, in your own understanding. You will never, ever understand. This is why it has to be a new life, a new nature, a new spirit. Everything radically changes when we become a new creation in Christ. We receive differently. We hear differently. We see differently. We understand differently. Everything is different, is changed. In order that we can walk and maintain that walk in the Spirit. And you say to me, well, how can I know? How can I know what God is saying? Because God brings it always to us. Every revelation, every understanding, everything that we need to know is brought to us. This is why the gospel is such a good message, because you didn't try to get to God. God came to us in the state that we're in. That is how you can tell the difference from the Christian gospel to many other cults and religions that are around, because they're all trying desperately to get to God and please God and do things for God. There's the difference. Now, of course, we are told to be not only hearers, but doers of the word. But in our actions, what we do, the fruit that we bear, comes by the source of the Spirit of God. So that my actions is stemmed, inspired by the Holy Spirit. This is why when we help someone, we show that love, or we give, or we minister in our gift or gifts, the source of it comes by the Spirit, not by my ideas or my efforts or what I think might be right. It stems from the life of God. I can only say to you this morning, my preaching of this word can only come by the life that is found in God by the Holy Spirit, which he has shared with me. It can't come any other way. And that's what this is all about. And we believe for ministry. We believe that God is raising up a remnant of people in this last days who will walk by the Spirit. We believe that he has a remnant around the world, his people, who desire to come under the banner of the bloodship of the blood of Jesus and not under the banner of some man or denomination. It is the Lamb that we follow, not some good idea, or shall we try this? We've seen it all. Church history sadly shows us man's efforts, how it started in the Spirit and finished in the flesh. That was Paul's warning to the Galatian church. How often do we see that? And so what God is doing in these last days, and we are in the last days, is going to be a pure work by the Spirit and of the Spirit. And we're all learning to get out of the way, because we are the hindrance so often. I wish sometimes God was more forceful, but he's not, because the Holy Spirit is always represented as a dove, and you know the nature of a dove. That's why he makes us sensitive. That's why he makes us sensitive to the Spirit and what he's saying, and so on. And so this walk of the Spirit, being in the Spirit, means that we stand together in that one Spirit. This is why this meeting today is a unity of the Spirit, not a spirit of unity. Because that can be anything. It's unity of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, brought together in that oneness in him. That oneness that Jesus had with the Father when he said, I and my Father are one. That one divine Spirit who eternally manifests as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we are united into the oneness of the Godhead. And in the Godhead, they all agree. You haven't got one agreeing this. You haven't got the Holy Spirit agreeing this and Jesus agreeing that on something else or whatever. No, they are one in unit, in harmony, in agreement. And that is what he's doing with the life of believers. Now, only God can do that. That is impossible in the natural. And this is, of course, why we're seeing a false ecumenical move today, where, well, it doesn't matter what you believe, we can all get to the Father, and as long as we believe that, we've got a basis of harmony and unity. Sorry, it'll never be built on that. It has to be a work of the Spirit. where he brings us in harmony together, in oneness together. And when we are in oneness together, it's a sign we are one with the Father. And in that oneness, we move together. That is what God is accomplishing in these last days. Now, of course, that's impossible. So what is impossible with man is possible with God. And that's the whole point, and that's why we walk by faith and not by sight. And so the Spirit makes us one, and the Spirit bears witness. We hear what the Spirit has to say. That's what he says to the churches in Revelation, the seven churches. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So many professing Christians don't really know what the Spirit is saying to the church. We need to hear what God is saying in these last days. This is why God sets the ministry into the church of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, Ephesians 4, for the maturing, perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and so on. These are vital so that we know and hear what God is saying. No individual one person can ever hear what God is saying. This is why God uses us, each one of us, as we're set as a gift into the body of Christ. Each one of us an expression of God and what he's saying and his love, reflecting the fruit of the Spirit. That's how God works. God has chosen to work with man in this way. I don't know why he does that, but he does. This is why he's given the keys to the kingdom through the church, that foundation, that rock of which we all stand on, the Lord Jesus Christ. The doorway into the kingdom of heaven is set in the church. Her witness, her message, her belief. That's why we guide believers, converts, not under some man's ministry or name. The church is to guide new converts through the doorway into the kingdom of heaven, of which we preach, of which we share. But we've got it so wrong today. Everything's organized. The church is not an organization, it's an organism. That's how the Apostle Paul presents it. That living body, an arm, a leg, an eye, a feet, a toe, and so on, all making up, functioning with Christ as the head, you see. Wonderful. Only God can do that. And so you see, our witness is by the Spirit. We hear by the Spirit. We say things that are by the Spirit. We discern and judge by the Spirit. This is why I'm always saying we have to test the spirits. We're not up against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities. We have to be shown what we war against. And that can only come by the Spirit. And that is why he's given us those weapons, the whole armory. Why is it so essential? Because that's how we stand in these last days. The enemy, the powers of darkness, are out to try and destroy the body of Christ. We are the prime target every time. And this is why, you see, the enemy tries to attack the mind, tries to suggest things, tries to keep us in bondage. And that's why I said, settle it with Romans 8, 1 and 2. Whatever's happening, God has not saved me for condemnation. He saved me for a walk with him in the Spirit. And that will be accomplished and fulfilled. You see, brothers and sisters, if we want to see things happen in the body of Christ, if you want to see your life change, if you want to see yourself being used in these last days, whether it's in witness or in ministry or whatever it is, you have got to learn and settle that your walk is a walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. And this is why things don't happen at times. This is why we don't see the changes in the house of God as we would want. Because nothing can ever be achieved if saints are not walking in and by the Spirit. And we will see things happening and changing in full gospel assembly. You will see your lives being used. Some of us have gone into a sleep mode. And it's time to wake up. And the reason that we're in that sleep mode is because we're looking much more to the things of the flesh. Well, I don't feel like it today. Oh, I can't overcome this problem. Or I've had a row with the wife. You name it, and we get all lethargic, all down, depressed. The enemy's getting hold of our mind and suggesting, and you call yourself a Christian. That's what he likes to say. What a liar you are. Well, brothers and sisters, if you've repented in your heart, then you can tell him to go and take it up with Almighty God. Because that's why the blood of Jesus is there to deal with our shortcomings. And thank God for his mercy and grace. But you have to decide what you're going to believe. Because we're going to have to learn to walk by faith now in these last days. You can no longer look to anything. Everything in the world is being shaken and will be shaken. And we're now beginning to see God is judging commerce. He's judging around the world. We only have to hear now the economies, even China. The economy now is in a bad way. And of course, God is going to judge the thing, money. For it says in Scripture, the love of money is the root of all evil. And who is the root of evil? Satan. And Satan controls the world through demonic forces that work or do anything for money. Kill their mother for money. Because it's the root of all evil. And that is what God is judging. That is what he's working on now. And that is what he is exposing. That's why we read in Revelation 17 and 18. When Babylon falls. And everything in the world. Industry. Governments. Kings. Despots. Everything we know will all fall. What is that falling? Because your money will be worth nothing. Worthless. That is what's now starting to be shaken. And you and I, brothers and sisters, we have to get totally free from that. We have to trust God. Our eyes have to be looking firmly to the kingdom of God. And he said, if you seek the kingdom, then all these things will be added unto you. And you do not have to consider or worry about these things. What a deliverance. What a wonderful thing that we can be set free from these things that cause us to be anxious and worried and so on. So that we can be totally free and consumed in seeking Jesus, the kingdom of God. Because that's what it is. That's the deliverance. But the enemy comes along, yes, but what if? It's always the what if, you see? That is why we're getting delivered from fear. For fear hath torment, the scriptures tell us. We've not been saved in fear, but we've been saved and given a sound mind, the mind of Christ. And that is why he's dealing with these fears. And our trials expose those fears in order for us to get delivered and washed cleansed by the blood of Jesus. That's why he permits and allows you to go through these various trials, because fundamentally he's rooting out that fear. Fear is the number one demon Satan uses in the world. Why is it the number one demon? Because Satan fears God. That is his problem. And so it's his problem, he's going to make sure it's your problem and the world's problem. Well, praise God, Jesus came to set us free from that. On the basis of whether we choose to believe that or not. And God will do it. God knows how to draw these fears, unbeliefs from us, so that we can rest in absolute assurance in the love and grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's going to help us to maintain that walk in the Spirit. It's very interesting, but I believe that our prayers, our intercessions, our warfare maintains and helps keep us walking in the Spirit. You see, it's wonderful, isn't it, how God uses our weaknesses to maintain our walk in the Spirit. Isn't it wonderful how God uses everything, the failures, even sin at times when we've fallen desperately short, yet he has a way of turning us around to bring victory in the end, in order that we can continue to maintain that walk in the Spirit. This is why it's so vital. And that's why we have a responsibility with this. We have to keep close with God. We have to be in that communication with him. We have to examine our hearts at times. We have to humble ourselves in his presence. Because otherwise I'm going to be a slave to myself. And I am my own worst enemy, which often we are. That is why yielding to Jesus will break every fetter to maintain that walk in the Spirit. And that's, of course, what we call the deeper life in the Spirit. That deeper life, that deeper walk. You can go as deep and as far as you want. And that's why the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is essential. It's an empowerment to maintain and help me to walk in the Spirit, to have that consecrated life before God. This is why, sadly, a lot of the charismatic has gone so wrong. They didn't know what to do with the baptism, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. They thought it was an empowerment to make churches bigger, to make ministry more successful, to heal everyone, and to go off and do your own thing. So much of it was misjudged, misused, abused, and how the enemy has used it. They failed to see that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was to rebuild the body of Christ, to bring true believers back under the headship of Jesus Christ and not under some organization to empower. How can you put new wine into old wineskins? But man tries to do it. He receives a blessing from God, and he wants to take that blessing and put it back into bondage, into flesh, into the pride of life. It is not for that. This is why God's taking his time in these last days for what we're going to see. He's taking his time because when we receive the things of the Spirit, it's going to be of the Spirit into new wine bags, and not the things of the Spirit put into the old wine bags, bondage, corruption, which so often we see. That is why he's taking his time, so that we don't abuse and misuse the moves of the Holy Spirit. when the Holy Spirit comes and He empowers, so that we don't abuse it. And that is why He's making empty vessels. That is why He's getting you and I out the way. That is why He's working with us, so that we can maintain that walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, so that we are then prepared for the blessings and the anointings of Almighty God. So that ministry will glorify God. So that we will truly see souls wonderfully delivered, born again into the kingdom of God. That we will see again the church making disciples and not church members. This is why God's moving in the way that He is. He's getting us out of the way for the Holy Spirit to move, because man will always foul it up. Man is religious. He doesn't have to try to be, he is. But the wonderful news is God is not religious. Never has been and never will be. And don't even try and make him. I'll tell you who is religious. Satan. Very religious. But that is not what God has saved us for. That is not what disciples are. That is not what followers of Jesus Christ are. If the Son shall make you free, you are free indeed. You are free from that bondage, that mindset, that corruption. So, brothers and sisters, as I finish now, that is the work God is doing in your life and my life, is to maintain 24/7 a walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And this walk in the Spirit is going to come as we open our lives before Him, we humble ourselves before Him, we come, we agree with Him, we hold nothing back, we hold no inner sins, weaknesses, we are completely open, honest before Him. These are the things that will deliver us. This is what will keep us, empowering us. You see, we're like batteries in a way. A battery has to be charged. That charging a battery keeps a battery in good condition, you see. And we are the same in many ways. We have to be charged. We have to be recharged. We have to have that connection working there, keeping us alive, empowered, maintaining that walk daily, hourly. And if we're not doing that, then you can guess the one who's going to come and start to interfere and hinder, and that is the enemy. And I will tell you, the enemy always attacks in the mind of man. He has always done that, and he continues to do that. His tactics never change. He suggests. He tells you things. He starts to suggest things. Or he has a way of controlling your mind. Well, that is you. That is your personality. That's the way you are. You've always been like that. Or your mother was like it. Or whatever. So it's like it becomes a part of you. That is the lie. You have been made a new creation in Christ Jesus. Everything that you were has gone. You are created anew. So that your thinking is new. Your attitudes are new. Your vision is new. Your thinking is new. Your affections are new. Your desires are new. Your heart is made new. Your mind is being recreated, worked on now. Everything that was negative, wrong things, wrong heresy, wrong teaching, everything that's been there is being eradicated, erased, made new by the Spirit of Almighty God, by the anointing. That is why it's so important to maintain your walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. No. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, how you touch us, how you bring life to us, hope, vision. When at times we're in despair, we just feel we're going completely under. There you are, supporting, holding, maintaining us, showing us that we haven't got it wrong, and that we're just listening to the wrong voice. Father, I pray you will put that hedge of protection around us. Father, keep our minds and hearts under the blood of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. You know the desires of our hearts. Father, you know what we want. And Lord, we believe that you will work and maintain that because you first loved us. You know our weaknesses. You know where we fall desperately short. You know at times those ungodly affections that are still in our hearts. Or I want to do it my way, or whatever. But we know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And you rose from the grave triumphant. And all power and authority and might and dominion is given unto you. And we are preserved and we are kept by the power of Almighty God. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that preserves and keeps each one of us in this life. Father, we ask that we will continue to be changed into your likeness. We desire to walk in your footsteps. Father, work the world and all its lusts and its affections out of our hearts. Let our desires be your desires. Let our affection be your affections. Let our will be your will. Let us experience the mind of Christ as you're working with our minds, delivering, setting us free. And even when we go through those trials, knowing that you are there with us in the midst as well, that we are not alone. Father, we are the only people who have won the victory. That victory is assured. It is done. It's complete. It's finished. We are the only ones who know and have an assurance and revelation that whatever befalls us, whatever we encounter, whatever trial we go through, we have the victory. For it has been accomplished, it has been done and finished, even before the foundation of the world. Please, Father, make that a reality to us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Well, bless you all. Thank you for your time and for coming into the room. It's been a blessing to be able to share with you all. And if there are any prayers or requests, we are always open to pray, to stand with one another, to encourage one another in the faith. And Lord willing, we shall be back in the room on Tuesday. That is 7:30 UK time, 7:30. And we look forward to our time together and fellowship. Praise. Till it finds full
flourishes on whatever growing till it finds fulfillment in the arms of the sea. So I worship and adore you, lay my whole life down before you, and cradled in the love of Jesus I'll find security. And Jesus is